Bonjour, bienvenue, je suis Jenna Suru et aujourd'hui j'ai l'honneur de recevoir sur cette interview l'équipe d'un film qui vient d'être projeté pour sa première au Chicago International Children Film Festival, c'est-à-dire le festival international destiné aux enfants et aux adolescents de Chicago. J'accueille donc aujourd'hui Emiende Negbedon Sela. Bonjour, Amy.
Bonjour.
And also welcoming Constance Nicole Frierson, who is a social activist, but not only, as she's also one of the writers and the story owner of the film that we are discussing today, Color of Autumn. Congratulations, you're just back
Thank
from
you.
in Chicago. How
Yes.
was the screening? Did it go well?
It went absolutely fabulous. And what I want to really point out about our process is it's a beautiful collaboration. So, all the wonderful talents, we just came together and made magic, basically, I believe.
Yeah, that it was definitely an amazing experience to be there. We had a group of, I think it was three classes of kids between 8 and 10. I want to say was the age range, 8 to 10,
Eight
eight
and ten
to
or 11, 7 and 11.
yeah,
Maybe,
it was
yeah, that
about that
block.
range. It was a really big
Yeah.
range, and they responded so well. It was amazing.
I want to ask you first things first, Constance. Color
Yes.
of Autumn is a short film that is based on your story. This
Yes.
was the premiere of the film, so we understand how well it was received for those who did not get the chance to attend the actual screening at the beautiful cinema.
Yeah.
Can you maybe share a little bit about why you chose this festival and also what you hope will be the big takeaway for everyone who attended this week?
Yes. So just a little bit about the personal story. It was written as a short story, and I've been storytelling since childhood because it was a great way for me to just clear my head, get things down on paper, and just feel better about different experiences that I had. So this particular story had to do with a situation that happened to me as an 8-year-old. And what ended up happening is I revisited this story as an adult. And now I'm mature. And what's funny is when I told our students, the first thing I said, I was like, I'm 65 years old. And they just lost it. But I only said that to point back to how long that was in 1966. And that we are still experiencing bullying, and the tarnishing of innocence in our children. So my goal is to empower young people to understand how to respond when they are attacked.
And maybe also share with audiences that are not necessarily from Chicago. This was also a virtual festival on top of the in-person experience. Is also the goal to reach out to other markets and also just spread the
Oh,
message.
yeah, absolutely. We have other festivals actually that we've already been acknowledged or recognized for. This was just the international premiere, the big one that we had all been anticipating. So, yeah, it was definitely a big deal, to come out in the community with other filmmakers and share our process and story.
Of course. I think if people are still curious about seeing the lineup through the Chicago International Film Festival, the virtual festival is still going on, I think, till the 19th.
Yes,
Which
till
if you
Sunday.
missed, yeah. So if you missed the in-person, you can definitely, go on the website or even go on Color of Autumn's colorofautumn.com, the website itself, to get more information on that. But you
Yes.
can go on the website and screen the films through Sunday, the 19th, for
Yeah.
sure.
And it's 15 minutes long, so it's a quick experience, but very powerful. And I'm getting that from people who have seen it, not my own personal experience or opinion.
And a great opportunity for whomever didn't get the chance to be in the Chicago great area this week.
Yes.
Amy, I want to ask you about your direction, adapting on the screen this story from Constance. By the way, congratulations on the soundtrack. That definitely was a wonderful accompaniment to the short. I want to ask you, Amy, how did you develop that universe, understandably a period piece? And also how you created that atmosphere around the lead character to speak to the audience of the festival and fervor.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely an incredible experience working on this, especially with the kids that I got to work with. First of all, they are brilliant kids. They are beautiful inside and out. And so it was an honor and just a pleasure to work with them. My process in general would be to, I first start with the script. And if it's a script that I resonate with and I feel I can do justice to, then I take it on. If not, my ego is not that big. I'm like, this is beyond my scope. But thankfully, this was within my scope. And I really wanted to do justice. So as Constance said, it was a huge collaborative experience. We had all our producers involved, from our executive producers, like Pamela Wise, Yamora Wright. We had Alexander Engels, who couldn't be here, and several other producers involved. So it was really a collaborative process. But I started with the script, and it's a terrible story, a hurtful story, but also a beautifully told one. And so I felt like I would tap into that, the idea that this woman is traveling down memory lane. You know, she's going back in time to revisit an event that deeply shaped her. And so for me, I wanted to think of it as looking at old photographs. You know, when you open that box of photographs and it's from 1960s and the color has changed a little bit, and you're just going through and remembering everything that happened. And so that influenced the color scheme, for instance. Like I develop my lookbooks for every film I've done. I always do my lookbooks for it. And so the lookbook literally explained the type of homes that I'm looking for, the color we're going for, my color palette, the tone, the texture, and of course the music. I really wanted it to be music from the 60s because this is technically a period piece. And so we combined, or my vision was to have us start in present day and travel with her, literally with her, present throughout the time, back to 1960s, and then end the film back in present day after she's done reflecting on it. So it was kind of fun, you know, to have us find homes that look like, you know, 1960s Chicago's in the Bay Area, because that's where we filmed, Hollywood magic. And of course, we're lucky to get Charlie Peacock's music, which was just incredible. We had such an amazing team of people that came together to help us create that look. And we also played with vintage lenses. So we shot my DP, Alexis, had that brilliant idea. So we shot with the 1960 stuff was shot with vintage lenses, and the modern stuff was shot with, you know, more crisp type lenses, just to give a little bit of that feel during the production that we can easily translate in post-production. So yeah, it was, I don't know, a coming together of all the things, I would say, including the costume, right? That too helped a lot.
Oh my gosh.
We spent so much time on figuring out what the costume and the hairstyle should look like. Hairstyles of the day would look like. And in post-production, my favorite part was the color, because my colorist, AJ Francois, really got the idea of like, okay, we want this to look like old photographs. And you see that as you're watching the film, like some of them are very sepia in tone. Some of them almost look black and white in tone when you're in the playground. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you kind of get that feeling of the color of the photographs being different as you're going through the images. So yeah, it was one of those processes where you sit there and you hope to God that it works out, and it worked out. And the children are fantastic to direct. We did some meetings, serious meetings with them, with their parents, because of the subject matter. And we had Joy, our sensitivity and cultural coach, on set to make sure that everyone was taken care of. They needed to talk to her before or after she was there. She coached the kids throughout the audition process, through being on set, because this is not who they are. They're not representative of this type of person. And so we really had to help them understand that they were painting a picture to show that this is ugly, don't be this way. And also see how what you do affects others, because you see the effect on the little girl herself. And it was great to see them pull through and really show those layers on screen.
Understandably, today it's important to be inclusive of everyone and even as well of everything in our industries overall. Would you hope for the film to be screened at museums? How do you think or believe the film should be shared in reality with all communities and just with a large audience? I'm happy for you both to jump in. I'm sure you both have a lot
oh,
to
sure.
say about this.
Well, thank you, because that is a very important aspect and the driving force behind why we wanted to create this art. We intend to get this into classrooms where it will be an interactive kind of process, creating a safe environment for the students to express what they need to express. That was one of the wonderful things about having this theater full of these children. I mean, they were so fired up and it was just, oh, my heart was just singing because of that interaction. And they made me feel a little bit like a rock star, I want to say, because they were just so engaging. But we want this work, it's a tool that can be used for teachers because it is a difficult topic to talk about with students, especially in the climate, you know, the political climate and, you know, all the, you know, divisions and issues. But what we hope and what we are seeing is that these young people, they will be the change makers. They will be able to take care of the future and show empathy, compassion, and understanding for all, and that bullying is just wrong.
Agreed, absolutely agreed. I think that's very important to point out the scope of this, because the producers right now are working with Marissa McGee, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, creating a curriculum that can be used to accompany this film in schools. And that's what they're pitching right now. We're working on that, because not only do you want to give the teachers the tools to help the kids understand and interact with and combat bullying, you want the kids to also feel safe enough to know that, okay, it's okay to express how you feel about this and to try, like, to safely, you know what I mean, try to help combat bullying in their schools or outside of school as well. Do I want to see this in museums? Yes, I want screenings of this happen at the Whitney or the Guggenheim or any of those places. Absolutely, because they do programs like that where you have screened films with historical lean or bent to it, screen at museums so that people can, who necessarily wouldn't think about, you know, going to a festival to see this, will probably get a chance to see it. So I would certainly love for that to happen. But I know right now it's the schools they're focusing on, and then from there on, further distribution.
Last but not least, before you get away back to your lives in respectively Los Angeles for Amy and Chicago for Constance, look for more opportunities to rise to spread the word against those terrible bullying. Would you like to speak a little more about, indeed, as Amy, you touched on, the role of film festivals? Some could be more industry focused, some could be destinated to teenagers and children, equally important. Could you maybe talk a little bit about those spaces, and especially the safe spaces you consider are key for you today and just for awareness of audiences in general?
Yeah, I have creating a safe space. How important is that? In today's society, I feel like there is this fight to be able to speak, which is a dangerous territory to exist in, where you're not allowed to actually share your thought if it's not the trending thought, or if it's for fear of being bashed, canceled, bullied, or any of that stuff, or shamed. And we have to be able to come to a space where we can actually talk. There is room for having different opinions and being able to understand that we're humans with just different opinions and we can actually coexist. And so I feel like film festivals that are tailored to an audience, tailored to the masses, give, you know, that space to allow for that, because they showcase a diversity of films that touch on very different topics, and very different types of people come to these festivals to watch these things. And then they talk with each other or they go home and discuss. And I love that because a good example would be what we experienced, Connie and I, at the festival with the kids' reactions, what they said. They felt safe enough to be able to say those things in those rooms, even though their classmates are right there with them and they're going to go back to school with them. But yes, all of them had a point of view and they shared them. I mean, Constance, if you want to speak on that too,
sure.
I think creating that space is important.
Yes, absolutely. And what's wonderful is, were there maybe three teachers there for those students? And when I tell you, they were mission driven as they walked out with their students, you know, of course they thanked us and appreciated it and said things like, oh, it's so powerful. But one of them said, oh, we have a lot to talk about. So it's not just allowing the space for them to speak, but also protect them from any type of retaliation, which is really the case in the film, where although this character, young Dottie, was embraced by this family, it was the neighborhood children that made it uncomfortable. And instinctively, the white children in the neighborhood knew that, well, tomorrow I'm going to have to go to school with them. I'm going to have to go to church with them, socialize with them. So that's why they basically, their voice was taken away from them and they could only respond with silence and just stunned, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah, I totally hear you. Speaking up is it's tough. And you want to create a space where people do feel like they can learn how to do that safely and effectively. But yeah, speaking to the festival's role, I think when it's in, there's space for that as well, industry focus. But if the goal of cinema is to teach as much as it educates, then I appreciate when festivals are really, really driven to include audience, to bring yes, audience from everywhere in to see the films.
Yes. Sure. And if I could just add, one of the main things of one of the, I believe he's head of the programming for this organization, they believe in, sure, let's watch the film, but let's discuss it. And I love that idea. And just observing the young people while the film was going on, there was a row of them and there was this really strong, explosive part that came. And it was as if they were on a roller coaster and I saw them all go back like this. So I don't know if that's being in the era of, you know, our superhero movies like the Marvel movies and, you know, Wonder Woman and all of that. That response in the theater is stronger than just sitting there being quiet and not moving and not speaking. So that was very encouraging.
Sounds like a very conscious experience, and what a great occasion to dilute cancel culture and also somehow promote a form of bravery and universality through film and through the future of cinema. Yes. Merci, Amy. Merci, Constance. Your Merci. Film, Color of Autumn, will still be screening digitally at the Chicago International Children's Film Festival all weekend. Merci encore. C'était pour la Radio du Cinéma.